Hi there. Welcome to another episode of Hops and Handshakes. I am your host, Isaac Oswalt, and I am here with a very good buddy of mine, Mr. Dr. Kyle Blackport. Kyle,
doctor,
I like saying doctor. Doctor and something, right? You spent 7 years doing something.
Yeah.
Something. All right. So just go with it. We are at Brew Merchant in Holland. What part of Holland is this?
This is not that.
This is Washington Square.
Washington Square.
Whole different world.
It is a whole different world, but snazzy. And what beer did you choose for the hot part of the show?
I got what you have. This is the Country Strong IPA from Mitten, right?
Yes, it's definitely nice. Yeah, cheers to that. Cheers.
I've never had it. It's good.
It is good.
Second sip was good as well.
Perfect, perfect. Well, Kyle is a fellow business owner, and I think, let me give you a little background, I think you started your journey going on your own relatively close to the same time I did.
Yeah, almost 5 years ago.
Okay, all right, so I'm a little less than that. I think you did yours smarter than I did. You took what, you know, it was a little bit, I don't know, maybe you did. Maybe you have some other stories for us, but anyway, this is an exciting conversation. Kyle's a great man. He's a great family man, good friend to a lot of people of our network, and then also it's always fun for me to sit down with people who have been through the journey of entrepreneurship, because not only does it teach you everything, not everything, it teaches you a lot about business that you need to know in any kind of facet, but it teaches you a lot about life that you didn't really think you're going to find out. It teaches you a lot about yourself. Anyway, I'm excited to hear the story a little bit, some of the things you've learned. So with that, Dr. Blackport. Wait, you're 2 years away from being a doctor in owning your business.
That's true.
Perfect. All right. Well, tell us what's going on. Give us your story here.
Quick story is I graduated in 2003 from Hope College, a couple miles from here.
Okay, not too far.
And I've been in the IT industry for going on 15 years now. Started
okay.
Started my own company 5 years ago, roughly 5 years ago.
Okay. What is the name of that company?
To my chagrin, 5 years ago, I said, I'm not going to name it with something with my name in it. That's just simply not going to happen.
Yeah, that's not going to happen. Just crazy.
Fiverr, got a bunch of help, and we ended up with Blackport Solutions.
Okay, so, okay.
Yeah.
So the name originated from somewhere else other than your last name, probably.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So, that was an interesting journey to get to that, but it's Blackport Solutions. And we're doing it for about 5 years. It's going great. We are actually in Holland. We got a team of four people now. We have a part-time CFO as well that's in a couple days a week.
Okay.
So it's fun. It's I laughed when you said I did it a little smarter than you or whatever you said. I feel like I nerd out on spreadsheets and I have a plan and I'm analytical about everything. This happens, I'll do this, et cetera. This is the opposite. I'm just going to do it. I'm going to wing it.
Yeah.
What came from that was fun because you just, you don't have a choice. You got to go out there and start experiencing stuff.
When the only button you can press is go, like you can't turn left or whatever, like you don't have money to turn left. You got to just press go, you know?
Yeah. I have a tendency to overthink things, and it was nice to not have that option. I think I made $8,000 in the first, 6 months. And I never had more fun in my life.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I just, you know, and your idea of it is so different than what... Wait a second, I thought you were going to say yes when I quit my job. You aren't going to say yes now. Oh, okay, cool. That would have been nice to know 4 months ago. Thank you. All right, now what am I going to do? You know, I'm sure you had some of that stuff too. But yeah, it's not for the faint-hearted, but it's a fun process for sure.
Yeah, I agree.
So talk about that. Like, talk about making that jump. And, I mean, you're married with a family.
Yep.
I doubt your wife was like, you are the smartest person in the world. This is a great decision. Let's do this. And she was just cheering you the whole way. Or maybe she was.
I have a very supportive wife. She has a tendency to... I think there's a combination of... I've never articulated this or voiced this, but I felt this. I think there was a combination of... she saw that I believed in whatever it was. Even though it wasn't anything, I just believed in, I can do something and I can make this work. I think she saw that, and she saw the different side of me that that brought out in.
Yeah.
She got behind that, but she also knew that
the less spreadsheet side of
that. Yeah. Okay. Not something super attractive about a guy that digs spreadsheets, apparently.
Yeah.
But there, I think there's also probably an element of she knew once I get my mind on something, I'm probably going to do it.
And yeah.
I have that, I don't know if you do gal strength, but
yeah,
that activator maximizer element where the activator in me is, it's game on.
Activator.
Not tomorrow morning.
He's a maximizer. Alex is behind us. I don't know if he's waving him. Yeah, he's got the maximizer analytical. That's powerful. And then you have the activator, you're a doer.
Yep.
Perfect.
So that started happening, and it was...
But that's it. I want to bring that because Lauren was the same way for me. Like, Lauren was like, I presented her what seemed like a stupid short-term solution. Like, hey, I'm going to leave this and I'm going to do this. And she was like, yes, you need to do that because there's something about that and whatever. You just have to do that. And back to your point, if your spouse isn't there with you, like, I mean, it doesn't necessarily have to be like the most exciting thing that they've ever heard you say before. But if they're not with you to support, that journey is a lot harder if darn near impossible.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so that was huge. That's awesome. That's awesome.
I've had that conversation with other people, and that's one of the questions that
I had it yesterday with somebody.
I don't necessarily ask it, but I try to get a pulse on is your spouse.
You can figure it out.
Is your inner circle behind this? Because if they aren't, it's difficult if they are. It's almost impossible if they aren't. So I was lucky enough. Tana was very supportive. We had a lot of fun. I think part of it, I was more carefree because I didn't have anything to overthink. There was nothing to, nothing existed. It was just go out there and get it done. So,
all right.
I found myself just one thing that worked for me was I went out there and I was able to learn what worked, like what everybody was talking about that actually worked, what actually everybody was talking about and didn't work. It was just a buzzword. And then how to... I don't fully understand how all the technology fits together, but I can memorize and I can remember specific people that do understand it at a deep level, talking about what they like and what they don't like, and then being able to
pull those resources when need be.
Yeah, and insert it into conversations where it was applicable for that, you know, specific party. So that was fun because you have no choice but to get to a certain level of competence about the topic, and I had to do it in a very fast way. And I just did it through conversations and asking people, you know, like I do in any sector, whether it's physical fitness or you want to get better with your personal finances or you want to get better with a relationship, et cetera. You find somebody that's doing it and you ask them if you can copy them and learn from their mistakes.
Yeah.
I did a lot of that. So I had a ton of people that were generous with
it. I've mentioned it numerous times before, but it's you know, I'm blessed with, you know, the traditional educations and that stuff, and that's valuable in its own right, but without a good group of mentors at different stages in their life and working on different things, I would have no idea where to go next, so to speak. And you still need to make that, you still got to take action even though that in a direction that is unclear. That's always going to be, there's never going to be, it's never 100% clear, right? If it is, it's awesome, you know, but you still need that guidance and be able to, you know, go from there. And part of what you're saying is whether you're going to sell something or you're doing a consulting work for somebody or you're providing a solution based on technology that maybe they don't understand or they don't know how to apply or they're not big enough in your business. They're not big enough to just go have a complete humongous IT team, but they want to know what the parts and pieces are that work for their business. What entrepreneurship being successful truly requires, and I have figured this out in, you know, the last couple of years, but then I realized where I've watched some people go down that I know have tried doing things, is they weren't that good at listening. And what you're talking about is, like, I learned, and yeah, I'd go home and I'd read a book or I'd read something online, but I had a lot of conversations. And if you're going to remove somebody of their money, you better damn well understand what they want in return. And that requires the 2 years, right?
Yep.
So it sounds like you did a lot of that in the early game and still do today.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that's spot on. It's being able to, one of the things with the internet and with technology, I've heard you talk about this before, and is there's a million options out there for everything now, and we have access to everything right now.
Sure.
But one of the downsides to that is that you can get paralysis by so many options, and the missing component is someone that can take something, simplify it, and then articulate it in a way that it matters to you and it has an impact for you. So the listening component, what you're talking about is huge, because you actually have to, you can't just have a one-way
blurb
about the value you bring. You have to get a lot of context from their side before you can even begin to dive into what they're struggling with, what do they care about, because you got to understand their business and their mindset around the business and technology to actually have a voice into that mix. So, listening is a huge component.
Yeah, it's a huge component, and back to your point with, millions and billions of bytes of information, trillions, whatever it is, all the information out there in the world that there is today online, there is still art in the application, right? So it's one thing to decipher all this and like, okay, how do you make it work for me? And how you're going to make it work for me is understanding that person, the me of that, and being able to, so it's almost a distillery of knowledge that will always remain constant from somebody looking at you and saying, okay, Kyle, I understand that all the stuff, I can do this, but just tell me what I need to know. Tell me what it costs me and make sure our stuff doesn't go down. You know what I mean? For me, like, I remember saying to somebody, and this person lit me up pretty good, I think, in a way, like a...
Okay, talking, I was trying to figure out if I know him.
A pretty... I don't think you know this one. But, lit me up, he's like, wait, you're not getting a job, you're having business, blah, 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 and I don't know if I've ever said this, but when I left and decided not to pursue any kind of other employment, I think it was $500 a month in revenue coming in, and then 2 months later that contract absorbed, and it was just like, it was not much, right? Obviously, it's really hard to make things run from there. And I didn't really know what I was going to sell. I knew the arena. I knew that there was a communication gap with a traditional business, and I knew I was going to figure out how to fit that. But I also knew that you could have all the options here, the size of this table, but I also knew that, you know, this business over here might require that guy, and here, I was just going to do a bunch of listening. Like you've got all these different tools, but I'm not just going to tout out there and be like, I'm this person, or I'm the Twitter guy, or I'm this. Like, yeah. And people have done that, and that's fine, but my personality is such of a futuristic, strategic, ideation, individualization, and focus. And then six is like empathy. Like, I feel bad for everybody that's like unhappy with what's going on. I'm like, oh God, I want to help you. My talents were going to be predicated based on a consulting type of role and saying, all right, tell me what you're looking for and let me see of all this stuff that's out there that a lot of people don't understand. Let me see what makes sense. And then now I got to come back and I got to articulate it to you and making sure that you understand it, running sales and marketing, and the president understands it, and then I got to make sure the CFO doesn't get pissed off either, because it's extra money out of here. How do they look at it and tapped into my, you know, finance background there and all that stuff? Like, it's amazing. Like, we're talking about some of the most widely accepted social platforms out here, but still having to listen to everybody's narrative about whatever you're trying to sell them and connect those two bridges is really where the business is. It's really the essence of that, and I think, you know, knowing a little bit about what you guys do, I think that's kind of what you do day in, day out, is just, you know, it could be therapy. It's basically therapy from day to day, right?
Sometimes you get through a lot of listening and discovery, and you tell them, you know what, actually I don't have to do anything.
Yeah.
You're making good decisions. You need to, you just need to be empowered, or just, you need someone to confirm that you're doing good things.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Confirmation. Yep. This is the right path.
Yeah. And I found that's really difficult when you're starting out and you don't have any revenue. And
but that's exactly what you have to do.
Yeah. And to me, I'm too insecure to try and like sell somebody that I don't really believe in.
Oh my gosh.
But there's times where it's like, hey, I got four kids. I could sell them a product that would actually make their life better, but they don't technically need it. There's times where that pops into your head. For me, it's just completely against everything I am to even go down that road, because I have to get pumped up about whatever it is that we're doing. It was surprising that telling someone you're actually in a good spot, there was a fulfillment there that was surprising to me. And then it ends up, you know, in a good way, you're top of mind 6 months or 12 months or 24 months down the road, when they say, hey, you're the only guy the only person that told me I didn't have to do anything. Mm-hmm. So now that I actually have a pain point, or actually we're adding a location or whatever,
You're the most trusted.
Yeah.
Absolutely. You're the most trusted. And that's really hard to do in the early game.
It seems
and
common sense, but...
But when you're in the moment and, you know, you've got expenses, and I empathize with anybody in that situation. Again, empathy. I empathize with anybody in that situation, but you have to ask yourself, and, you know, this is straight, like, you know, Gary Vee, are you playing the short game or long game? Like... And you and I live in the areas that we plan on being in for a long time. And I really, you know, we're going to make mistakes in our business and entrepreneurship. And that shit keeps me up at night. The fact that it's not the money that I found stuff, the fact that we might at some point do something that missed the expectations of somebody else. I'm very cognizant of that, but that's just part of life, right?
Yep.
I can do that. I can still do that with the best intentions in the history of the world. Like, that's going to happen no matter how good we get or whatever. It's just going to happen in life. I can't you and I go walk out and go, you know, dinner with a group of people on a Friday night. I can't like, walk down the street in Grand Rapids, being a small town, and seeing somebody walk down the other street and turn away because I wasn't 100% authentic with what I delivered or gave them.
Yeah,
I like that moment, and it would be 8 years from now. I see that person,
yeah,
and then I would ruin my weekend, right? And those are the things, like, it's so hard to do when you're starting out, right? Because you get, you know, did anybody give you a couple $1 million to start with?
Yeah, like five people did.
Five people did.
Yeah,
okay,
no.
Just blank check, fill whatever it out. Yeah, well, pay me IOU. Like, was it a Jim Carrey and Jeff Daniels
good
IOUs.
Yeah, good as cash. $125,000 might want to hang out.
That was for the car.
Yeah. The Lambo. Yep.
So
there's something cool about that chapter or whatever that state when you're in that. I remember a friend of mine that we're doing this. You know, we're interacting other people that are like-minded. They're in similar stages of life. He happened to have been part of a very successful company. And everything was just rolling. I remember him telling me, right when I first started, I was talking to him about the stuff that I was doing, and I was like, dude, I'm going out there, and I'm just talking to people, and I'm like, I'm trying to build something. And I remember him saying, there's a huge part of me that is pumped up for you, because I remember that state, and I remember that being fun. And it's different now. You know, he was talking about his side. He said, you know, he's making a ton of money, he's happy, he's content, everything was good. He's like, I miss that stage. And I remember him telling me that, and I wasn't defensive. I was like, wow, that's I believe that he meant that in a
purity way. I had the same conversation with a couple different people that are both in levels that we would enjoy being at. And it's like, wait a second. You're saying that you're jealous or envious of where I am today, right now. I'm scared shit. Like, I literally just, I have to go check my underwear because I might have just crapped myself, right? Like, I am scared of what I'm doing right now.
Yeah.
And you're like, ooh, I'd love to be back there again. Like, okay, elaborate on that a little bit. He goes, that's the time when you're doing that. That's this, and you're there, and this, and you go, you got so much to look for. Oh, you're going to do great. It's going to take you a while, but it's going to be awesome. And he views that. I know two people I'm thinking of, like, that. Those are the glory days. Like, not like now, where everybody's focused on the later. Like, everybody's focused on the accolades of where that person would be after 30 years of work and successful business ownership and investing and that kind of stuff. And you ask those people, if you don't love the journey, then, anyway, it's fascinating. Because when you're sitting in that seat, you're like, okay, I trust this guy, I understand what he's saying, but don't know if I completely understand that at this point in time. Like, I must not be looking at it the same way he is. But
he doesn't know what it looks
exactly.
Like
so in your business, I mean, you do a lot of consulting for businesses, and you know, working with their IT and making sure that their needs are met, and that they're seeing not just what's happening today but tomorrow. Can you tell us, like, in the greater Grand Rapids area, which is probably most of your business would be, you know, West Michigan, right?
Yep. Yeah.
What are, do you have one, two, three, or one, do you have like one or two things that you see most businesses getting tripped up on that they could just look at differently? Like, when you walk in, for us, when we walk into a business, we typically know they're not going to be doing a couple things. They don't understand a couple things, and there's definitely improvement there, right? Where are those for you?
In the IT field, a lot of times what you see is there's you know, if you're in accounting or finance and you don't understand complex tax code or, you know, complex finances, you don't just be like, I don't understand it and it scares me, so I'll move it aside. You get a very competent, you know, financial person in the mix that can break it down and articulate it in your language.
Yes.
In the IT field, it's a lot of times there's leadership at the company that doesn't understand IT technology, and they start to put up barriers in terms of communication with the leadership of the IT department. Whether it's the main salesperson or the main technology user, or it's the actual IT team.
Okay.
A lot of times there's not great communication there, so that has the big byproduct of that is that
internal communication in companies that we work.
It has a massive impact on their strategy. You know, if you treat somebody like the field goal kicker and you yell at them when they make a miss, but they're basically non-existent the rest of the time.
Yeah.
You can create an IT strategy that is conservative, that doesn't ever make mistakes, but it also doesn't propel your business. It doesn't use it as a competitive advantage, et cetera. And
so
some of that's fluffy, but what I'm getting to is breaking down that gap in communication and saying,
okay, so
you should understand.
Number one is just communication for you. You're like, the right people are not talking to each other and being open and honest of what's really going on.
Just helping them communicate with each other. So, you know, helping the IT person. I don't know. I just memorize things.
Yeah.
I don't know how it actually works.
Okay. They would tell you, my team would tell you, I don't know how to do anything we sell anyway, so it's okay. But
a lot of times.
You laughed a little too hard at that.
Yeah. That was
belly laugh. He's back there with pom-poms cheering.
He's doing a slow roller. How do we do that? I mean, it's different for every company. Sometimes you're dealing with all sorts of personalities, and they're always
skill sets and person. Yeah,
yeah. A lot of times, what we try to do is bring it back to what is the business. You know, so are we trying to what's our end deliverable to the outside world, and what's our statement? You know, we're trying to produce more widgets. We're trying to put more beer on trucks. We're trying to put we're trying to better our X, Y, and Z, you know, whatever our product is or whatever our mission is. So that becomes a filter for everything with IT. So
got it.
If we're going to buy
it, is it helping us do this or hurting us from doing
it? Yeah, and if it's not, then we don't talk about it. But if it is, then we do talk about it. You start to, you give people filters to run that stuff through, and you also embolden the non-IT people. A lot of times leadership that's not, you know, technically inclined, or they don't fully understand, because it's very complicated and there's a lot of moving parts and pieces, especially at a large company. You get them to understand every decision as it pertains to IT. You get them out of the mode of, well, I don't know how to operate it, I don't know how to execute on it and fix it, so I can't be involved in any of the decisions. You bring them into that mix, and you also bring the IT department into their mix of what are we trying to accomplish as a business.
Yeah.
And you start to see, you know, leadership say, hey, instead of saying, hey, we purchased a company and they got three, you know, locations in the Midwest and we got 30 days to fire it up, and the IT guy saying, or IT gal, that's impossible. You know, I don't care if I'm fired, that's not possible. We can't do that. You start to get them coming and saying, hey, this is not public consumption knowledge, but we're going to probably purchase a company, you know, in Q4, and you give them 6 months heads up, because now you're talking the same language and you're moving in the same direction. So some of that kind of stuff is, I personally don't have a huge role in that. Our team, John and Charlie specifically.
Sounds like it's better that way, that you're not a part of that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oftentimes when I get involved, it seems like it clunks it up a little bit.
So Sarah works with us in a meeting. Sarah, who works with us, said the meeting, goes, she's like, I'm like, how'd that meeting go? I didn't go to the meeting. She goes, it went really well. We get a lot more done when you're not there.
Hey, props to her. Hey. You can fire that one.
We have a very transparent, honest culture.
That's like, the only way to go.
It's to the nth degree. But that makes sense. I mean, any organization. Somebody said this. A client recently said this to us. Him and I were talking back and forth, and I just look at him and I'm like, hey, it's all communication. yeah, you sell this and you sell widgets here and you gotta have this, you know, like that. But it's just all communication. It's communication. You know, companies more and more need to operate as a media company themselves to communicate their message online, and not just with the sales team, but actually communicating that online, you know, in different ways. And then also that communication goes internally and making sure that everybody's understanding, like, when you can help a business with their internal communication, they will be astounded by the amount of productivity that can actually happen.
Yeah.
And then honestly, like, job, you know, self-worth, job thing, like, you know, somebody
get pumped up.
They're part of something. And they feel heard, and they're a part of the conversation.
Yeah.
And when you make a decision and you've heard everybody's input, it's one thing to hear everybody's input, make a decision, and then maybe you disagreed with the decision that, you know, somebody else made. But, like, hey, man, at least I contributed.
Yeah.
At least I wasn't, like, stuck in the corner, because all I do is this and this and this. I'm not a part of that department.
5 years ago, I would have said, nah, that sounds a little fluffy.
Yeah.
You know, that I don't believe
it's real.
That, but I've experienced
so
that.
Real.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's so real to where, you know, things that we've helped launch inside of organizations that have been ideas for 3 years. Took a lot of work to get the pieces and parts, and, you know, because one person might, you know, stop gap it because, oh, well, that won't work because of this reason, and this department's this reason. And then we got them all in a room, and we're like, come on, let's go. Tell me everything that you're going to, this is a safe zone. You can say the owner's ugly. He's fine with it. He's fine with it, you know, whatever. Just go. And then once we did that, we figured out everybody's going to start mapping it out. It wasn't the easiest thing we've ever done, but now there's some things happening because everybody was heard, and we kind of said, well, if this, then that, all that kind of stuff.
We're not in the middle of the interview?
No, we are. Here, you pop in.
Pop in.
Okay.
Sure.
I need a little promotion.
There you go. Hey, bud.
Okay. I do counseling at the store at Harper Health and Massage.
Oh, all right. Perfect. What is your name?
My name is John.
John. I'm Isaac Oswalt.
I drink beer.
Perfect. I'm Kyle Blackport.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
Can you buy this man a beer on our tab?
Sure.
Thank you.
I can't.
Well, you can. All right. Well, take it home with you. All
right. I love that.
That's funny. The hell are we talking about? Gotcha. I bought a snowblower for the year, and the guy's like, I don't know if you need one that big. And I'm like, yes, I do. He's like, why? I'm like, don't ask him. I'm like, oh, backpack blower. We bought a house, and we have 45,000 trees in a little area. Then they just we have a ton of trees. And then, you know, backpack blowers, size of Texas in the background. I'm like, no, I need that one. I don't know. It's the biggest gas one they had.
But do you go towards the neighbors? Because that can be a dicey scenario. Do you blow it straight back into the woods? You go into the neighbor's yard? Because they got.
So we have a complete. This is an awesome sidebar. So if my yard is this table, your area to the road is all trees, and we're just leaving that bare. That's no man's land, so we're blowing it that way. Here's the problem. It's to the south. It's just complete first world problems. And the wind's always blowing from the south. So if Lauren is smart this year, she'll actually take a video of me blowing leaves into the wind, and everybody should be thoroughly impressed with my intelligence at that level. So at the end of the day, I'm probably going to do it for a couple of years, and then hire some young buck and teach him how to be a capitalist at a young age, and he can use my backpack blower that I overcompensated for and bought.
I like
but Kingsland Hardware was very happy I bought it, and all the other shit I bought from there. So, we digress.
Yeah.
Okay. I have no idea.
I don't know if you track analytics of viewers, but they just dropped off. The three people watching this just went down to zero.
We did. All right. We're at Brew Merchant. You're Kyle, right?
You're Kyle?
Okay.
Yep.
Gotcha. Okay.
All
right. Perfect. So, little story, little background. Technology, IT, how does it fit for me? You know, your business is not, it's not the IT part, it's tell me how it fits and works, and tell us all how we fit together. I mean, it's consultative through the roof, right?
Yeah.
You agree with that, right?
Yep.
All right, so what is one thing, and it could be through entrepreneurship, or it could be having, I mean, you have a family and four kids?
Four. I'm five.
Oh, you're five?
Yeah.
Well, you're four and a half. Then. Four and a half. You're half.
Sure.
Do you get to claim you on your taxes as a kid?
I got a guy for that.
It sucks. So, tell me, like, through all of this, because, you know, tell me what you've learned that you think, well, like, one thing or two things or whatever that you think anyone could benefit from. I mean, like a life skill or something that you didn't know, or, you know, something that you learned about yourself, or something that you thought was X, but it was actually Y, and it was a part of, you probably learned that maybe in the last 5 or 6 years, a part of your journey here.
I would say that people are drawn to people that have come alive, for lack of a better way to say it. You know, people that are engaged, they're turning on, they're turning up, and
energy is a real thing.
Yeah, and you can tell when people are a part of teams that bring out the best in each other. And there's a lot of people out there that are making decisions, big decisions, that they're not choosing the best option. They're not choosing, you know, the option that would stand up in the court of the law. They're choosing the option that is someone they trust, someone they like, and someone that is fully engaged. Now, obviously, you want a combination of both. You want to be the best, but you also want to be engaged.
Yeah.
But I found that being around people that bring out an engaged side in you is something that is probably at the top of the list for me in terms of, you've talked about, you know, what do you tell your kids, or what would you tell the 18-year-old version of yourself? It'd be that. It would be, I don't care if you're selling ketchup bottles to restaurants, or it doesn't matter what you're doing. Be around people that bring out the best in you, mm-hmm. and that you do the same for them, because that's when gasoline gets, you know, poured on fire.
Yeah.
The other kind of byproduct of that is people are very generous. So they're in terms of reaching out to other people and saying, hey, I'm starting something and I don't know what the heck I'm doing.
Yeah.
You know, I got to do the basics. Like, I get more revenue than expenses, et cetera, but I need help figuring out how to navigate this. People are very generous with their time and their experience and their advice, et cetera, and in a way that it makes you want to do that for other people when you're in that spot. So,
I'd mention that. So, it's always the network, right? And, you know, I have a few friends. Alex says to me, he goes, I feel like you know everybody. I'm like, that's not true. But I purposely,
pretty much. No.
Well, we make quite a tandem. He's not quite as tall as I am, but we make quite a tandem.
Or funny.
Yeah, no, definitely not. But it's, first of all, like, you know, it's our personality, though. Like, I suffocate not meeting people, being around that energy, that kind of stuff. And part of it could be, part of it's who I am. Part of it is like, part of it's almost like, this is the wrong word, but it's almost like your combat drug to the insecurities that lie in your head when you're grinding and it's really quiet and lonely. So one of the best books that was given to me by a member or by a mentor that I read right when I started, I read a long time ago, it's by Felix Dennis, and it's called The Narrow Road. And it's every want-to-be entrepreneur needs to read that book, and it's true. Like, it's, you think this, it's that. You think this, it's that. And he even wrote that before, like, the social media doctoring up facade of entrepreneurship and how sexy it is. But anyway, it's intoxicating to, it's good to be around people that are doing the same thing or that are asking questions that you're asking yourself, right? We live in an amazing, I have to tell you, we live in an amazing community here. Like, this is rare to be able to call up. Like, you and I sitting here could not know a person that is a notable person. We could reach out to them 3 to 5 times in creative ways. That person will meet with us for half an hour.
Yeah.
Like, that doesn't happen everywhere. It doesn't happen most places. So back to your generosity, people, that is just a really nice part of West Michigan that, you know, I say it any time to any young buck I sit down with that wants to do something. I'm like, you know, don't look at that relationship or that meeting for today's purposes. You're both are 23 years old and you're figuring life out. But, you know, if you don't want that job, then go still meet that person. Sit down and talk to that person. They might have another job 8 years from now or whatever. Like, your network is critically important.
Yeah.
But the second part is what I realized when I started for the first couple of years, and even now today, the mentors I talk to the most, that I'm the most connected with, they call me more than I call them. And I probably should call them more, but I'm like, hey, man, they got a lot going on. I mean, there's a lot going on. But they're living vicariously through you and me. Back to your statement earlier, how some people have told you that they missed that journey.
Yeah.
But I'm literally getting called like, how's it going? You see it? Did you see this? What's going on now? What are you looking at? I'm like, oh, look at this. Oh, yeah. All right. Do this. That. Whatever. And I'm like, don't you have something else better to do? And you know, like whatever. You're in New York doing whatever that is. But they're, don't forget, if whoever you sit down and you want to figure out where they are, whether it's a job or you know you want to be a nurse and you want to go interview and go sit down with five nurses and buy them a cup of coffee and hey, how'd you get here? Do you like your job? What don't you like about your job? And they will take time with you and sit down and tell me your story and. You know, they'd help you along. That is the one thing I think a lot of people do. They go to school, they spend all this money in debt, but they do not network with people that are 10, 15 years ahead of them who could really help them out along.
Yeah.
You know, the pipe.
No, I agree. Yeah.
So, the 18-year-old self, what would you say?
Shave the beard.
Yeah.
No, I would...
Shave the beard. But it makes you feel manly, though, doesn't it? I feel that count for something.
Yeah. Close to manly.
Does your wife like it?
I think she does.
Think she does?
Yeah.
Have we asked?
We've asked. Not lately. It's gotten a little out of control lately.
you can't ask with 3 days of stubble. That doesn't count. And they'd be like, yep, she likes it.
That's true.
Yeah. Because you're like preparing for Santa Claus here. If you keep going. Yeah.
Crimson.
Yeah, it's okay.
There's dice in your old self. I would say stick with it, and the people matter way more than anything else. And I would just think, kind of what I was thinking about when you were talking about how, you know, there's a lot of people out there being generous and being mentors and willing to be mentors, etc. We've received a lot of that. I know you have. I have as well. And we're going to someday hopefully be able to return that favor.
Yeah.
I feel like that
it's the path. It's part of
it. It's just kind of a pass through, and that's a very contagious thing as well. We didn't talk about that, but that when you give an open ear, you give like, yeah, I'll take your meeting. You know, we're all set. But I had a lot of people that were all set that took, you know, 20 minutes of my time. So I'll take the meeting as well. I feel like that's a very contagious and generous. Thing that's unique to this community that is something that I would tell myself, my 18-year-old self, to leverage that in a good, you know, genuine, clean manner. Not in a, you know, not in a conniving manner, but just in the end, it's about people. There's enough products, there's enough technology, there's enough everything out there.
Yep.
It's about people. And there's going to be bad days and there's going to be good days, and you're going to need people.
Yeah,
and they're going to need you.
Internet and technology included. It's still somebody. There's still a human being on the other side of that phone or computer or whatever, and it's still going to come down to, you know, that emotional side for sure.
And my 18-year-old self would say, "Yeah, that sounds like a bunch of options."
Well, yeah, but I see it happen in organizations now. Mm-hmm. The world, they're making decisions just staring at that spreadsheet only, and they're not looking at the people that they have out there. Like, if I get those people, you got 15 people out here that are not motivated but talented and they're not connected together. Like, if you can figure out in the next 6 months how to get them bound together, purposeful, in the seat that makes sense for them, and equity, and they're, like, they feel like they've got a piece of something and they're put to a task and they're going to charge forward, like, it's going to make your spreadsheet look stupid if you empower the emotional side to that core group who really at the day just wants to mean something.
Yeah.
You know, for many reasons, right? So to me it's like, to me I looked at too much of like, you know, I'm a very solid math mind and I P's and Q's and margins and I don't want to do that because of the margins and this and that, and that, and it's like you can figure out all that crap based on being meaningful to a group of people. Big or small, you know, big group of people, being meaningful to them, you can figure out how to make the math work, to take care of yourself and do the other things that you want to do in a very honorable way, but you got to be meaningful first, and for me, I had to get back to kind of what I'm naturally good at and what I naturally hated. You know, I spent a year learning how to trade stocks, like options and, you know, plug holes, like all that stuff like that. Like, mathematically, I'm good at that, but I'm there's people like Brad Ward is brilliant at doing something over and over again every single day. Golf, twice, so good at golf. Because he can sit there and hit 400 pebbles a day and be perfectly content. I'm like, I'm bored. Starsky's bored. You know, I'm like, I need some other object, right? So I think however you're going to be meaningful to people and then predicate on something of value has to be like natural back to your talents, which you mentioned StrengthsFinder 2.0, which is a hot button on for sure. So do you feel like what you do now is like is definitely into your talent sphere of like where you feel like you're strong at?
Yeah, I think so, and I think it's easier for me to, when something's not working, it's easier for me to realize, okay, you're operating out of your basements, or you're actually using that strength in a bad way. It's giving me words and an ability to articulate something that I felt all along and just didn't know how to identify it.
I kind of ask myself, I'm like, all right, do you just suck at this, or are you just not, and you need to get better?
Pardon?
Or are you?
Are you talking to some specific? Or?
No. I got another question for you though. But like, do I suck at this task that I need to get better at, or is this just completely out of my sphere? Like, they didn't ask Spud Webb to work on his post book, right?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, LeBron James. I don't know if he'd be a really good curler. You know. I don't know. Right. So like, you got to put yourself in the right situation. Right. And more and more, I'm finding myself like trying to punt those things. You know, I'd be like, I shouldn't be doing that, or I should work. You know, it's easier to do as you get bigger in skills, stuff like that. But
it's hard though when you start doing everything. When you start out doing everything,
You got to be very creative with that stuff. But as you shape and the business shapes, and you want a business to create. I mean, if you're building a business today, you really should be doing only the things that you're really good at, and then it will be fun for you, you'll enjoy it, therefore you'll do it more, you'll get better at it, and when you do it more, you'll get better at it, and you'll enjoy it, and you'll enjoy that you're good at it, and it'll be a self-fulfilling prophecy. But the truth, there takes a lot of, you have to humble yourself and understand, like, I'm not good at this, you know, I'm not good at that, and I found some business owners who are not willing to say that, and they're kind of not as hard enough as it is. It's going to be harder if you're not willing to give that stuff up, or if you can't see past a $300 a month outsource option, and you're going to do that yourself. Like, I don't know, man.
Yeah.
If you're an entrepreneur, like, you might want to go just sell that $300 a month. Figure that part out. You know what I mean? So
yeah, you can get in your own way for sure.
So
I've been there.
Another question. Oh, yeah, we all have, and we'll continue. All right. Another question for you. Can you hit a fade?
Oh, absolutely.
Can you?
Yep.
I have seen some.
I have to put one of those weight belts on and strap my hips in and then just close it out.
Because the ball is always going to turn to the left when I play golf.
Three to four fairways.
Oh, yeah. But that sucker runs, man. It hits the ground, and it looks like it hit the launch pad in Super Mario or whatever. Yeah.
Works very well at less expensive courses. They don't have a whole lot of objects in the way.
Exactly. Or you just got to aim right. Turn it down.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
No.
So when we're not working, you like to play golf, right? Yep. Obviously spending a lot of time with the kids. What else? What else do we do?
I don't know. Yeah, I don't do a whole lot.
Yeah? Spreadsheets. No. Is this where you go back to your spreadsheets?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay. That unsexy thing that we talked about earlier that you do?
I pickleball.
Do you?
I really like pickleball.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, you don't want to step to this in pickleball.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
I've never felt more manly than making that statement right there.
You talk about that energy thing?
You go to rough.
Like, you got, no, I'm good. I don't even know what the hell is pickleball. Is that paddleball? Is that pickleball? What's
that's amazing. You'll love it.
Oh, yeah?
Pickleball. Yeah.
I don't know, man. I don't know if that's my speed. But we'll try it some point in time. You know what? For another, to make you feel even more amazing about yourself. Okay? I'll be the pinnacle.
It'll be good.
You should have seen it, guys. I beat this guy who's never played this game before. I floored him. He didn't have a chance. All right. Anything else that we need to mention to the crew? Like, we'll obviously put in, again, Blackport Solutions, Kyle Blackport. We'll put in some information on how you can get a hold of him. Obviously, he likes to consult and chat. Definitely playing the long game, which I applaud that. But, anything else that you want to mention?
No. Good to see you again, brother.
Yeah, you too, man. Was your beer good?
It was good.
Okay.
One tastes like two.
One tastes like two. And this is the first time in Hopson Handshake's history that the cameraman, Alex Bizalis, did not partake in a beverage because he has the sniffles. So,
that's the worst.
So let's all make sure Alex gets better. We'll get him some Theraflu or something.
He's unlatching the camera and
exactly.
He's going to have to cut off the
camera. He's going to rest of that. Palms are sweating.
He's going like this.
All right. If this is the final episode, you'll know what happened. Otherwise, thank you for stopping in. We're at Brew Merchant here, Talent Blackport, Isaac Oswalt, and we'll see you next time on Hopson Handshake. Thanks. Cool, man. Is that good?
Yeah.